Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You hear that?
Yes.
That is Manscaped working to the best of its ability.
That is my nose trimmer.
It's our nose trimmer. Can you hear it?
I can hear it all right.
Big thanks to our sponsor for the episode, Manscaped.
Get it in your Britney Spears and all.
Unbelievable. The number one provider of precision engineering tools.
You can probably turn it off now, John.
For the family jewels.
Talk about ripping the arse out.
I'm done, mate, yeah.
You look magnificent.
I look up with ultra.
A few snots up there, but yeah.
There it is. The old trimmer, engineered to prevent any nicks around the old nuggets.
It's immaculate, isn't it? Yes. You haven't used that, have you?
Where? I've not used that one, no. I've got my own at home with them.
And we've got a special offer, as always.
Of course we have.
For you under the cost listeners, the Manscaped Performance Package. Are you interested in what you get with the Manscaped Performance Package?
I'm sure you are.
You get the Lawnmower 3.0 Precision Trimming. No nicks. You also get the Weed Whacker, which John
hear it.
Is continuing to demonstrate. Again, that is my weed whacker.
That's it at work, that.
You get a lovely pair of boxers, the good gruds as well.
They are very good.
Snug looking
fit. In fact, they're my favourite. They've gone straight in as number one.
Yeah.
Just comfortable.
They're not the Jeff Banks soft top spot.
Yeah.
You get a travel bag as well. So when you're out and about, you can take it with you.
Comes in handy.
Thing is, I know we're half joking about, but nobody, no women like, or very few I can imagine like, undoing the zip. And a big bush in the grid.
No. It's unforgivable.
You know what I mean? I don't think any are going to think, oh, I like the look of that.
No.
As opposed to fresh, job done. You can just,
Get him one. A little tip for you ladies, if he is letting it go loose a little bit, when he comes home from work, a little treat, maybe think, go downstairs, chewing gum in, preferably bubble gum. Let it slip out, gets all tied in. He's got to whip it off then, hasn't he? He's not going to leave it. He can't put his pubes in freezer.
Bubble gum not included.
No, you don't get any bubble gum with it. No, you get the shampoo and all that, don't you?
Oh, you get the lights.
Aftercare.
Yeah.
Aftercare, we're talking the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. We're talking Crop Reviver Ball Toner. And all you've got to do is go to manscaped.com, put in the code COST20, and you get 20% off.
I mean, all them are good for the spontaneous ones. You know, if you're out for a walk or something. Oh, I've got my wipes in my pocket. 2 seconds, love.
What do you mean if you're out for a walk?
You're not being there, are you?
Voyeurism. You're into voyeurism or cottages.
Oh, I'm too sure. I can just picture it. You're in the car park. You're just about to turn your light on and you think, oh, no, I've not washed my balls.
Yeah. Glove box.
Get it, glove box.
Close your eyes for a minute. Ready?
I'm just polishing them up.
So all you've got to do is go to manscaped.com, put in the code COST20, and you get 20% off the Manscaped Performance Package.
I mean, if there's anybody who wants to go for a walk with Brownie, don't get in touch and he'll show you what he means.
Again, that's not part of the offer.
Dogging? You into dogging?
Nah.
No.
What a question that is.
I know, a bit personal. Cut that, mate.
You've got all your gear in the car.
You've been following me.
Just before the Alzheimer's had to come on, a bit of a ball preserver. Away you go. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Good evening.
How are you?
Very good.
Fantastic.
Animals part two.
Yeah, the World Cup's just brilliant.
Yeah, that was our prime viewing.
Remember it?
17, 18, I think I was.
Yeah. Do you remember getting up early? Cracking on, games were like 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Clubs would open.
Bottle of hooch.
Yeah. I remember my mum's mate, Sandra, she was a receptionist at school. She was half an hour late for work because there were a build-up of traffic at Beehive Roundabout because of a conga. Put your ninja wigs on.
There were some long old sessions, weren't there?
Yeah. But very, very interesting episode, I thought.
I tell you what, from the first episode that
were that I really liked when he was cheering that Gary Neville got injured.
That would be you, John, wouldn't it? That was you every time I went down with a bad back.
Knee slide.
No. I didn't need you to get injured, don't worry about that. No, but I mean, like, you know, like normally people say, oh yeah, well, good for him and that. Not Millsy. Absolutely buzzing that Gary Neville's got injured.
You would be, wouldn't you? Chance for go to a World Cup. Sorry, Gary.
Yeah, not to do with the fact that it's Gary Neville. Just he's buzzing someone's got injured, so he's got a chance to go and play.
And then play.
Could have been anybody.
All the Leeds stuff's really interesting this week as well. Interesting.
He were there when the shit really did it a fan, didn't it?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, obviously we've had a few on from that era, but it's just always a different, very interesting, different sides of the story and different opinions.
A different angle. Different angle, I think, is what you're looking for, Chris.
Thanks, John.
You're very welcome, mate. Don't worry about it.
It's the last quiz. Lockdown quiz this weekend. This Friday, if you're fancying it.
We're going out with a bumper.
Oh, big bash. Big blowout.
Yeah.
It's his last one. We might as well get banned.
If you're fancying it, 7:30, live on YouTube for the final lockdown quiz. I've enjoyed them. It's been fun.
Yeah, we've had some laughs, haven't we? Hopefully, it is the last one.
No more lockdowns.
No more.
Yeah, I woke up Saturday morning. I felt brilliant. I did, because for the last 7-8 weeks, I felt as though I've been hit with a fucking double-decker bus.
Oh, because we skipped last week, didn't we? So you felt fresh.
Yeah, felt $1 million.
You'll miss it. You'll miss it when it's gone.
You will.
Finally put this fancy dress box back up in attic. Hey, if you've not got involved with the Patreon either, there's 35, 36 episodes on there. For those who don't know, if you want to support the podcast, £2.50, I think it is, with your tax on. And you get them 35 extra episodes, 2 episodes a month. And if you are interested in getting involved, then we very much appreciate it. It helps, doesn't it?
Yeah,
massively.
As you can tell, I've not had my teeth done yet, so not quite got enough in the coffers yet.
Should we get Danny in then?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's get him in.
Come on.
When did you last have a shave, John?
Joe, I think. Why?
You lost your manscape?
I've seen you look better.
No, believe it or believe it not, right? Came downstairs the other day, this is when, you never guess what I've done. She's only shaved the dog's fucking Gary Glitter weight, hasn't she? she shaved the dog's Gary Glitter weight. The dog, honestly, it's got like, it's like a baboon, you know, when you see a baboon and there's no round it. Poor little Freddy's got a manscaped Gary Glitter.
it
is much cleaner.
When did you know you were going to be starting the tournament?
We went to Korea first. We played a game in Korea. I'm one of the fittest lads. I'd had obviously a couple of weeks off at the end of the season, so I was fresh. I mean, so it was me, Trevor Sinclair, and Owen Hargreaves. When we were doing the running, you know, you do laps of the pitch, you've got to catch the guys in front. We were like the last three, and we had to make sure we caught everybody else. We were the fittest. So I'm thinking, well, hang on, I'm fit. Number two, all these things were sort of adding up. Games a week away, Sweden. We got everything's leading up to that. And we started doing, you know, formation with McLaren. Back four, me, Cole, Coley left back, Rio, Sol. Oh, hang on.
How many? Yeah.
We're doing proper play now. Mm. You know, this is not walking through chat. This is full on. 45 minutes at it. This is starting to look like the team shape. Obviously, later in the week, start doing set pieces. Well, you know, you'll be here for set pieces, whatever. Team's still not been announced, so you're still...
But you've got an idea. 75% certain now.
Yeah, and you start thinking, yeah, but I've been here before.
Yeah, you don't want to fully confirm it in your
head. I've had that rug pulled under me so many times before. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. So we go into the... We go into the team meeting, day of the game. Everyone sat, walk in, sit there, cross my fingers under my armpits. Sven comes in, quietest man ever. Very rarely spoke to him.
We'll get on to Sven in after this.
And he's just gone, okay, lads, the team, Seaman, Milch. No idea what he said after that.
Milch.
I'm like this. I'm like, fucking hell. Jesus Christ.
Can I do a forward roll in the middle of this?
At what point do I get excited now? So you go, you go through your warm-up, go and normality sort of kicks in. You get in that zone and you're going through stuff. And then you sort of stood in the tunnel looking across, and no one or two of the Swedish players, Lundberg and players like that. And you're just thinking, fucking hell. This is a World Cup.
Playing in a World Cup.
I'm walking out for the first competitive game, never played in a qualification game, anything like that. Walking out for the first time, representing my country in a World Cup. It's like, I'm fucking bang average.
I've had a fucking shocker, Wes Brown.
I've done so well to get to this point in my career. It's like, this is unbelievable. This is like what dreams are made of. So we go out, start the game really well, playing well, confident, whatever. Fit, strong, everything's going well. Ball comes into the box, go chest it down. Ball comes, covering the centre half. Ball comes over, so go chest it down. As I chest it, just slip a little bit. And as I slip, I'd still get up, make the clearance. It still goes out like 25, 30 yards away out there, you know. And he has a touch and he just smashes it, then he straight over Dave Seaman's head, top corner. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Did you think, oh, fuck.
Well, I'm going, that's my fault. Mm. You know, and instantly I took that and I went, oh, I've slipped. It's my fault, this. What have I done? Oh, for fuck's sake.
World Cup, England, my first proper start.
Yeah, but play the rest of the game. Continue playing on, play well, rest of the game. We get a draw. Obviously, we were 1-0 up. And we I don't think we'd ever beaten Sweden, because they're a strong side, at that point. So come on, you've got to go through the mix zone and deal with the press. I just went and fronted it up straight away and went, good result in the end. I said, yeah, but I'm gutted. I said, I feel like responsible that I've disappointed myself, let people down, whatever. And people, you had a good game. It wasn't really a mistake. Mm. It led to, but...
Did you read the press?
Yeah, of course you do. There's nothing else to do. I think because I went out and fronted it up, didn't really get massive criticism. Yeah. I had quite a decent game. And then, of course, next game's Argentina. So now I'm thinking, I was always on the night, it was always touch and go where I was going to play. But now I made this bit of a mistake. Sven never said a word. He didn't speak to me at all in between the games. Argentina were the favourites at this stage. It was Batistuta and, Simeone. Although, and obviously 4 years previous, this was a massive game. And we're playing in Sapporo in the dome. We're playing inside. Oh, this is a bit weird, isn't it? So you can imagine, first thing we do when we turn up day before, who can hit the roof? no warm up. That's going miles away. Like baseball, it's a baseball stadium.
Who can hit the roof?
Smashing balls out of the cannon. Like no thought of anyone getting injured.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's the
World Cup.
It's just what lads
Argentina
do,
England yeah. team, the World Cup, they're playing Argentina and they're trying to fucking smack the football.
So game comes around and obviously there's a lot of bad feeling because obviously you've got the Beckham thing from 4 years ago being sent off, all the aftermath. Obviously England, Argentina is always nasty. Mm. We've got to beat them, really. If we lose, we're out. Simple as that. They're the favourites. We've never, I think, only ever beat them once in a competition at that stage. Simeone's playing, Bex is playing. It's
what are the pressure levels like?
Oh, massive. The tension before that game was phenomenal. It's inside, small, so 20,000 people, probably 17,000 English fans, most of them Japanese because of Bex. Everywhere we went, he had the mohawk. He was like, prime him and Posh were at their prime at that point. So it was weird. It was bizarre. And I was playing against Kili Gonzalez. I was the left winger who played for Valencia in the Champions League. And we'd had a few tussles. So I knew what it was up against. He was me. And we just played an unbelievable game. We were just incredible. We were unlucky. And we obviously got the penalty. Michael made the most of the situation. Bex took the penalty again. I'm on the halfway line, like fingers under my armpits. Please go in, please go in, please go in. in, please go in, please go in. Oh, he's going, oh, it's gone in. It's like, oh, we've got away with one. He scuffed that straight down the middle. And then toward the last 15 minutes, we're holding on big time. They've thrown everybody on. You know, I've got Lopez is now on as well. We've got Kili Gonzalez. Everybody's, you know, they just, we've got Teddy Sheringham playing like centre half, you know, clearing things off the line. It's just tin hats out. Whatever. We get through the game. And afterwards was just unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, we go in, they refuse to shake hands. They won't swap shirt, won't do anything. Nothing to do with it. Going down the tunnel, and it's going down the tunnel. And it's now people like Sol, who are proper quiet, steady as you like, going mental. All that feeling from 4 years previous, because I don't know if you've seen it, and I've not really watched him ever back. Simeone went to shake Beck's hand just before he takes the penalty. And I think Nicky Butt walked over and pushed him away. So Simeone's walking over to shake his hand.
Mind game.
Oh, massively. Mm-hmm. And Butty just goes, I'm not having that, son. Get out of the way. So there was all sorts of shenanigans going on. So we're coming off, going out to the spitting and all sorts. It's like, it's horrific. So we're in the dressing room and it's all going off. Absolutely, you know, and it's just crazy. Absolute beating
all the
Argentina.
Tension and things just gone.
Oh, it was like we'd played well in the first game, but we'd drawn. We're in the group of death because we've got Nigeria final game, Okocha and all those sort as well. We played Nigeria, we draw the game comfortably, really. And then we go into the quarterfinals against Denmark. And on the way to the game, because of the time difference, in the hotel we had ITV and BBC. But there was no TV Plus or Record or whatever. Yeah. So we're watching...
Just early morning news.
Well, yeah, so we're watching like stuff at 2 in the... You know, what you'd normally see on ITV at 2 or 3 in the morning. It's not great. We've got laptops and bits and pieces, but it was like friendly.
Homes under the hammer. Homes under the hammer. Catching the attic.
There was nothing on TV. You know, there was nothing on the internet, really. I don't even Google existed in then. Mm. Or not, you know, not nowhere near as it does today. But we had a game.
Probably a benefit.
We had a games room downstairs, which was the hub. So we had a cinema, we had arcade machines, pool, table football, all that. You know, we had our own arcade, which was brilliant. You know, we had the fishing game. David Seaman loved the Sega fishing game. Yeah. He was just on it constantly. Couldn't get him off it. Talk about a hog.
What was Jamie?
Come on, mate, give us a go.
Yeah. You've caught two now.
It's like that. Seen David down there and he's weird as a game.
Taking this too serious, Dave.
It's like, wait your turn. I've got a big one coming in here. But it's like, you know, there's a leaderboard for like the Star Wars game and this, that and the other and all the lads are going through. And it was great because it was couldn't go out of the hotel because every time we stepped out, Japanese fans, because of Beck's, everyone thought we were Beckham. Not sure what that was. But we had, you know, it was just crazy. So confined to this hotel. So we'd not seen anything from back home. So it's on the way to the game that they've put on the reaction from the last three games, you know, back home. You know, so going around, you know, Manchester, Leeds, London. And you're seeing people jumping in canals at like 10 in the morning, hammered. Because, you know, and after they're there. Yeah. sure you were there. There was this big lad with a beard kept appearing. And it was like, we were like, oh my God, look at the reaction that this is having sort of in nationally. It's sensational. It's just off the scale. Mm. We've gone into the Denmark game. And again, they're a good side at this point. We're 3-0 up after like 20 minutes. We've just blown them away. I think that adrenaline rush that we'd seen, we just went out and we just went, bosh, 3-0. Job done. Simple as that. And then, of course, going to the quarterfinal, we've got Brazil. And then and you're thinking, but we're now starting to think, you know what, if we beat Brazil, best team in the tournament now by far. Yeah, but if we beat Brazil,
we'll have a chance.
We could win this. Mm. Imagine we win this.
Crossing your fingers.
Might get knighted.
Sleeping, you know, with your fingers crossed.
Sir Jeff and all that. Mike could get knighted in this. And you know, the stupid things start to go through your mind. So we're leading up to the game and we're going through it. We're thinking, hang on. So we look at their team. And of course, they at that stage, they were playing 4-2-2-2 all the way through the middle. Strangest formation that you've ever seen. But of course, Cafu and Carlos were the fullbacks, the midfielders and the wingers. They were the width, simple as that. You know, in the middle you had Rivaldo Ronaldinho, Gilberto Silva,
Romario, Roberto Carlos.
Oh, it was ridiculous. Sensational team. But we're ready. You know, we're thinking, you know, it's really played in Osaka, I think, it's ridiculously hot. You know, it's 40 degrees pitch side, 3 o'clock kickoff, whatever it is. Absolutely mental. And we go 1-0, don't we? You know, I get half an assist, hoof it up the pitch, Emil flicks it on.
It gets better.
So I've hit a long ball up to Emil, who's flicked it on. Michael's gone through, scored, but I've carried on my run. So I think, well, you know, I've played the ball into Emil, I'll go on an overlap, I'll just keep going and bombing down the right hand side. Of course, Michael scores and runs towards the corner flag where I'm heading that way as well. Bex is obviously on that side. So obviously the celebration is me, Bex and Michael Owen.
The dream team. Yeah.
The three musketeers.
Talking to me, mates.
Danny Mills ecstatic after his half an assist. Yeah,
it's
Brazil.
Like, here we go, I'm in it.
Come on, boys.
Pull that picture. That's the picture you need, lads. That'll get you in anywhere. Don't worry about that. that's the ID you need. And of course, just before half time, there's a sort of tackle on the halfway line. Sort of, you know, Bex. I think Bex thinks he's going to run out of play, and it's in their half. There's no real issue. But then they just go bum 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 bum. Oh my god! It's like the quickest play ever, and all of a sudden it falls to Rivaldo. Oh, that was he 16 yards out on his left peg.
Yeah,
that's it. Dave Seaman's got no chance. It's just like bosh straight in. Bends it in the corner, and that's just before half time. So that's knocked us big time. We've come in and we're all a bit deflated at this point. We were playing unbelievably well. Mm. You know, we were 1-0 up and we were giving them a really good game. But I mean, we came out of second half, and obviously Gareth made the statement in his book afterwards. You know, we needed Churchill speech, that rousing speech, and we got Ian Duncan Smith from Sven. Mm. It was nothing. People said, "What was the team talk?" I said, "Well, I don't know." Don't know.
Was that typical of him?
Yeah. I said, I don't know what he said. No idea. Absolutely no idea what he said.
Is that because you were just
he didn't say much.
It just wasn't memorable.
Yeah, so it was always like, we go and kill them and we'll kill them and we're nicely playing. We kill them. It's like, yeah, fucking hell.
So do you think if we'd have had a...
I don't know. I mean, it's
Roy Keane in the SM.
Yeah, because
people would have like gone, half dismissed then and gone, right, boys.
Yeah, there's part of it we should have been on ourselves, and we're professionals and we're fucking internationals at this point. But that's what the manager's there for in those key moments, to send you out second half and like, come on, we can do this. Mm. We can have a real good go. And of course, second half got underway. And it's hot. We're knackered. We're five games into it. It's baking hot. Ronaldinho comes across the middle of the pitch. I've cleared it and he's left his foot in a little bit and he's caught me. No real issues. I've just gone down. And as I've sort of gone to get up, and Scholes has come over and gone, stay down, son, stay down. He's got a card out. Stay down. Well, I stay on the floor then. It wasn't wrong.
I bet that fucking heat weren't great for Scholes in either, was it?
I wasn't rolling around. You know, I wasn't doing out like that. It was just laid on the floor still. He's got a card out. He's going to get a booking. Looks like he's going to get booked. Oh, okay, stay down. Waste a bit of time as well. You know, whatever. Get a bit of a breather. He sent him off. He pulled a red card out, didn't he? Ronaldinho.
I can't remember it, me. My memory's terrible.
It was never a red card, you know, and referee got that wrong at that stage. But obviously, we were 2-1 down because he'd already scored the free kick at that point.
Because he did have studs up a bit, didn't he?
It was a bouncing ball, and I'd cleared it, and he'd sort of skimmed my shin.
Yeah.
And he catches your shin bone. He goes, oh, and I went, that was it. Just trying to get a free kick. So we now got 10. And I think the only regret, people say, we got any regrets about the game? I think it's, we never really went for it in the last 10 minutes. We never went, you know what, let's just shell it in.
Do you think that's because you were fucked?
Yeah. I think it was part of that. I think we were knackered. I think I had one of the only shots in the second half, I think, in the game. It took a deflection, went over for a corner, whatever. But we couldn't get near them. Even with 10 men, they just kept the ball. Mm. And we were knackered. You know, we try. And that's maybe the only regret is that we didn't just go, you know what, shell it, lads.
Yeah.
You know, stick the big man up front and just bomb it in the, and see what happens.
Yeah. Tell you what, you could have done with a fucking day. You could have done with putting David James up front.
Could have done with a John Barkin.
Yeah, do you remember? But, did you think for a minute it was going in, that free kick?
No. Oh, it's pure fluke. Pure fluke. Never meant it in any way, shape, or form. Still to it, there's no way that he meant that. He's never done it since.
Mm.
Never. And worst thing was, we'd lost and you're out. And it's a bit of a surreal moment. And they get pulled over and Knobhead from UEFA comes running over. Mills, Ferdinand, drugs test.
Last thing you want.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Been playing 90 minutes for like in 40 degree heat.
Now I've got a piss in a bottle.
Well, I've lost about a stone. No, probably realistically, probably lost 5 kilos in fluid. Completely dehydrated. Mm. But again, of course, all the lads are in the dressing room. And me and Rio get carted off to this little poxy UEFA room. You've got to go and piss in a bottle. Walk in. Who's in there? Cafu. Fucking Ronaldinho.
They've got smiles on their faces.
Oh, well, he's laughing.
That's not a smile you want to see, is it, Ronaldinho?
Cafu was good as gold. Absolutely brilliant. Gave me a shirt. Not an issue. Top guy. Ronaldinho's laughing, joking. Like I'm thinking, oh, fuck, I'm going to bang him out. It's like that. We've just been knocked out of the world. Just sit in a corner.
Just bit disrespectful, really, isn't it?
You just think, just sit in a corner.
Yeah.
And it took me trying to, it's like, just give me water, water, water. You're trying to drink bottle after bottle, desperate for it, but do you want to get out of there? So finally, after about 2 hours, finally, get out of there, have your piss, get out of the room. Just about catch the boss is thinking we're going to leave because we can't wait for these. They're not going to have a piss. We'll have to go without them. So I finally get back on the bus. It's just somber. It's just like, no one's speaking. Go back to the back of the bus, sit next to Nigel Martin. Now what? Go on. You know, we'd gone from playing in a World Cup quarter final against Brazil to 36 hours later at home.
Yeah.
Mm.
On the other side of the world. It's like, that's it. You're out.
I mean, you'd be down on your natural adrenaline.
Oh, cool, yeah. So you've not to mention
everything else.
We've messed up.
Not to mention all of your fucking tits.
Well, yeah, but you know, you've messed up. You're this. And it's just a drain. And you know, because while you're in it, you just keep going.
Mm.
You just keep going, keep going. The moment you stop, oh dearie me, hell of a come near.
From your point of view, after that tournament, you must have gotten so much confidence.
It was the first. So I was at Leeds. And people in Leeds knew who I was. We were doing well at Leeds. Came back from that, went to Spain, see some friends. Had to fly out of Stansted with obviously, you know, a couple of young kids and whatever, misses, and stood at Stansted, flying out whatever it was, EasyJet or this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden, everybody like looking and sort of people pointing. I'm just thinking, yeah, a bit weird, isn't it? Hadn't really sort of clicked in at that point, yeah, that going from a Leeds player where a few people knew you in Leeds, whatever, you know, and you get recognised in Leeds, to suddenly actually now you've become, people have just seen you constantly for the last 4 weeks,
yeah,
you know, replays and all that sort of thing and interviews and everything else. And now suddenly, oh, and they had no social media. So it's the first, so you stood in the airport and people are going, and then like, the police come over with the guns and go, everything all right? You're like,
well, that a bit unerring to start with.
Definitely. Yeah, it's a bit, you know, still a relatively young lad, 24, 25, whatever, you know, and risen quite quickly through that. So suddenly to go from doing whatever you wanted, suddenly everybody knew who you were.
Yeah.
At that point, I had 14 England caps off the back of the World Cup, and I needed 15 England caps for a trigger point in my contract at Leeds. Bastard. If anybody played in the semi-final.
Yeah. You're not Sean Spen.
So you think, bloody hell. So we played Middlesbrough early that season. And I knew McLaren was interested at that point. I think Rangers had been interested. There'd been a bit of interest, obviously, after World Cup and bits and pieces. Some tentative bids around sort of 6-7 million quid. Which
are we leads on the with the
no, not, so we're still doing well at this point.
Right.
This is straight after the World Cup. So we're out on the pitch. We're playing Middlesbrough, and conveniently, not sure how it happened, no idea. In the sun that morning before we played Borough, Borough want Millwall's £7 million bid.
I've got a feeling you might have had a little bit to do with that, Danny.
Oh, look what's in the paper.
So Ridsdale comes on the pitch as we're going out for the warm-up, you know, going out to walk on the pitch and whatever. He comes out and says, don't worry about that contract. You know, don't worry about that next cap. He says, it's coming, obviously. He says, well, let's get that contract done. Let's get it signed and sorted. It's worked. Perfect. Right, sorted. So this is right at the start of the season. And then we started to have the bad season. Things started to get bad. But I've got this contract. And because of the England thing and everything else, there was loads of issues around image rights and tax issues and all these types of things. So the contract was effectively, was agreed in the October. Done and dusted.
Signed.
In principle and legally, yes, but it was like it had to go off to see to the lawyers and the tax and the government to work out what you could get away with in terms of image rights, or not get away, but what you could proportion to image rights, and it was just whether it was faff around with tax issues and that type of thing. So I mean, and this was a good contract. It was great. I mean, we'd sat in, my pal had come up from Norwich to help looking after my financial guy. And we brought a solicitor up and just said, look, you sit in the corner, don't speak. You're here just to sign the contract legally. It's all we need you for. Nothing else. Right, fine. Because I didn't have an agent. So you had to have sort of legal representation at the time. So we met in Burger King.
Signing this massive contract. Like, fuck it, we'll have a...
Yeah, so
we'll
have
a Whopper.
Double cheeseburger Whopper.
We're sat in Burger King. And we've gone through it. I've spoken to the PFA. I've spoken, I know what everyone, I don't know names, but I know what the wage structure is. And I know what other players are earning, other clubs, international wise, and this, that, and this. So I know my value within a region. I know what I'm on already. And we're sat there thinking, right, okay, needs to be a bit cheeky here. So bearing in mind, I think at the time, Vidoux is probably top earner at the club on like 45 grand a week or something. So I'm thinking, so we're sat there going, oh, come on, do we push it? Yeah, because we're gonna get chipped, aren't we? We're gonna get chipped. We're gonna get knocked down no matter what. It's not an issue. Come on, let's go in. We'll ask. What should we ask? 35? Let's ask for 35. Knowing that that's gonna get knocked back, fucking, and cut down. Oh, come on, we ask for 40.
Get some Orion rings, please. Get some Orion rings.
What's another milkshake? You know, why don't we just be stupid and go, yeah, there's a bid on the table from Borough. They know they want to keep you, England. Let's go and ask for 50. Let's see what happens.
Fucking hell.
Got worse. We're driving to the Ellen Road, going to chairman's office. And we sat there and walk in. Right, okay, so this is my lawyer. Kind of sit in the corner. It's a pal of mine, you know, advisor, representative, whatever. Okay, so what do you want? Well, having thought about it, you know, where we are, where we're at now, where the club's going, this, that, and the other, 65 grand a week. Rich David fell off his chair.
I'm surprised.
You fucking doubled it, Mills. Yeah. Fucking, you've doubled the original.
I know, it was, and I said it with a straight face. It was absolutely ridiculous. But we got to that point where, you know, it's like any negotiation, if you ask for that, you're going to meet in the middle somewhere, aren't you? So the more we ask for, the surely it's going to stay higher.
The less you're going to fall. So from Burger King and Birstall to Ellen Ward, it's gone up 15 grand a week. How does that even happen? It's an 8-minute drive?
Yeah, it's not far. can't do that.
But with a... I suppose I am asking, what was that an increase of? What were you already on?
I'd have been on... I'd been on 20-ish, I'd have thought. I'd been on about 18, I think. So we started...
So you're trebling here?
Well, initially we're thinking, let's go and ask for double. No, yeah. We're never going to get that. It's going to come down dramatically. So we start, well, actually, we knew where we wanted to get to roughly. So we thought, well, actually, let's just be ridiculous.
Yeah. If we go treble, we might get double.
Well, yeah. That was the theory behind it. It was just stupid off the cuff. Never expect anyone near it because... You know, I was always quite, you know, diligent in that sort of stuff. So I knew what the bottom line was. I knew what I wasn't going to sign in for any less than that.
Yeah.
But it was always likely to be a bit more than that anyhow.
What would you have signed for?
I mean, at the time, I'd have signed for probably 25.
You've asked for 40 bags a week, actually.
Oh, yeah.
40.
You don't ask, you don't get.
That is the theory. So we've gone through the whole thing. We've gone through it and gone, right, okay, 5-year deal. Right, sorted.
Yeah.
All done and dusted. And we get to the end of it. And then I've gone, right, okay, is that everything now? All the details, all the bonuses, all the restructuring, everything, you know, this, that, and then what happens, all the rest of it. Yeah, everyone's pretty much happy. And I just said to him, I said, I'll tell you what though. I said, one thing. I says, can I have the fish tank? Just was taking the piss at this point. Because the little aquarium type thing, you know, the tropical fish in it.
The deal could have been fucking bed on record, yeah, on a fish tank.
Anyway, we've had anything else, you might as well have that as well.
Under the arm, off you went.
So that's the October. So it's now done. And whatever happens, whenever it gets signed, it's going to be backdated to that point, and that's all legal. It's all done and dusted, but it's PFA, everyone's seen it, lawyers have seen it, everything. And we start doing really badly, don't we? And all of a sudden, there's that becomes a bit of a fire sale, and everything starts to slowly fall apart at this stage. So we get to March, I think. Yeah, we get to the March time. Woody's now been sold. Clearly, the club's in financial crisis. Mm. We didn't make the Champions League, and all these types of things. Something's not quite right. Financially, the club's starting to fall apart. So things are clearly not right now. And the administrator, you know, there's lots of rumours and everything's going on, and the administrators sort of get called in. And bizarrely, now he's one of my best pals. He's one of the administrators that comes in. He was Ernst Young at the time. So Gary's been dragged in to Ellen Road, and he's gone, right, okay, you're in bother. You owe the American banks a load of cash. You've borrowed off them and this, that, and the other. Right. No one, no more deals. No one signs anything. That's it. We are going, you know, we are going through forensic accountants. We are going through everything. Not a single deal, anything gets signed unless it comes across my desk. 2 days later, Danny Mills signs 5-year deal. Gary rings up. He said, what the fuck is going on? I told you no contracts. The problem was, because it was already been previously agreed, yeah, it was done and dusted. So it was done like 6 months. But the timing was like,
terrible.
Was priceless. Bump into me like in the playground at school, and he'd just look at me.
we were speaking about it all the day, weren't we? You know, like, whenever we've signed contracts, basically it's just been your basic, your appearance money, your goal bonus.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine everything
different level.
You know, like, everything that has to go in. Yeah.
I had all sorts in it.
By the way, did they try and chip you down? Or
I didn't get 65 grand.
I was just thinking there.
Look at that fucking house. Fucking down for all these, Melvin.
Very quick message from one of our sponsors, gentlemen. Meds UK. Have you been supplying you well?
Very good. Yes. Yeah, I feel on top of the world.
Meds UK is a vitamin and supplements online store. They've got all kinds of goodies. Turmeric and black pepper capsules. You're into them, aren't you, Chris?
Yes. Swear by them, mate. Very good for aching knees and backs. Anti-inflammatory. Natural anti-inflammatory.
Multivitamins as well. They've got the multivitamins in there to help your memory and your mood.
I take the vitamin D3, the multivit, the turmeric, and the libido enhancer.
Oh!
And it bloody works.
Does it?
Let me tell you that. That's why there were no quiz on Friday night. It got a match on Tinder.
So what are these? The male sex enhancers?
Yes.
Apparently the formula uses a variety of herbal ingredients known for their effects on male testosterone and libido. Increases blood flow to the penis. Increases an endurance stamina in the bedroom, stronger and longer lasting erections. I can't have them, me.
You don't need them, Chrissy, let's tell you.
Passionate lover, that's what it is.
Just think what you could be.
No. You wouldn't prod a ball before you went to rodeo, would you?
Hey. You never know, mate. Rose might want to renew the valve with this new lust that you've got. You wouldn't walk into the lion's den with meat in your pocket, would you?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Animals. Absolute animals.
No, but at MedUK, they've got a variety of multivitamins and supplements. Vitamin D, multivitamins. They've got the thermogenic fat burner capsules as well. If you're trying to lose a bit of the lockdown timber, all you got to do is go to www.meduk.uk. That's www.medsuk.uk. As always, we're going to look.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Offer for you, all you got to do is use the code COST20 and you get 20% off at the checkout. You can use it as many times as you like as well.
And by the way, the prices are incredible to start with.
Yeah,
you know, compared to that that high street store that everyone probably knows, prices are incredible. So you can't, anyway, you can't put a price on Lush, can you?
Exactly.
You can't put a price on libido. You honestly, you,
there's no inflation. There's no inflation in the price. There's just inflation in the pants.
www.meduk.uk. Use the code COST20 and get your 20% off.
Best advert you've done this, by the way, Big Nose. Best advert you've done. Comfortably.
Was there a backlash from the fans then, with everything going on, and then all of a sudden you've signed a 5-year deal?
No, not really.
Did they really need to make it public?
I think it had to, it leads to the PLC, so it sort of came out through that way, whatever. But of course, then it was just financial meltdown from then on in. You know, it was just carnage. End of that season was just players getting sold left, right, and centre, all over again. You know, I think we went away international friendlies, whatever. And they were like, oh, you know, we need to start selling. Players were just going.
Did you ever think to yourself, I tell you what, I'm not going to, things seem to be going tits up. I'm not going to sign this. I'll get salt for cheaper and make my money up that end.
But it was already done.
Yeah, it was done in October. Guaranteed. Like, so I'd obviously been backdated. I had that money. So I had 4.5 years left. So then went away internationals, came back. Peter, we just survived that season. We beat Arsenal. Penultimate game of the season.
Like a night game?
No, afternoon. Vidukson,
Sunday,
Vidukson Harry turned up for the first time. That
integral
season.
To the story? What time of day the match was?
Oh, so sorry,
yeah. Dark or light?
We penultimate game of the season, we beat Arsenal, survived, and that meant Man United won the title. So for Leeds fans, it was a little bittersweet, but we'd stayed up. You know, it's just still a very, very strong side at this point. And over the summer, we'd gone away internationals and bits and pieces. So I came back after internationals and knew the club were trying to get rid of me. Because we had, you know, it was me and Gary Kelly. So it's like one of us had to go. Simple as that. Lots of good players. Not on unrealistic money for where we were at the time. No one was on stupid money. It was all relative to other clubs and how well we'd done everything else. But instead of having a squad of 12 players on that, we had 25.
Right.
So we had to cut the squad in half to just balance the books. You know, because even now, you look at squads, 15 strong, and then sort of kids and academy, it's made up like that, isn't it? We had just had 25 internationals, done. So we're going through that sort of way of working it. Came back in, went to saw Peter Reid, and just said to Reedy, okay, realised the club want to get rid of me. Come back a couple of 8 weeks late for pre-season, could be on international duty. No, it's fine, Dan, it's fine. I'm in charge. You know, I want you here. You're part of this club. I make the decisions, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, all over it. Not a problem. You know, you've done well for this club. You've done well at the end of a season. Yep, no, fine, no bother. Not a problem. Okay. Don't listen to the board. Nothing to do with it. I pick the team. Great. Get up, start winning. Go and train with Aggers in the reserves. And the kids. Oh, great, okay. So then there's me, Harty, Barmby, Batty. I think Jason Wilcox.
Anybody on a decent wage?
Oh, yeah, it's like whoever they want, it's like go and train in the car park, effectively. One. So then he left. It was the first time ever, or first time for like 10 years, he left me out of the squad against Newcastle on the first opening game of the season. opening game of the season. I've never missed that. Mm. He's put like 2 17-year-olds on the bench. I'm going, right, okay. I'm annoyed now, but I get it. This is clearly not for me. And Reedy's coming out in the press. Oh, he's not quite in this. He's trying to make it
my fault. You're dry.
Played for England and against Croatia on the Wednesday night.
So the managers we spoke about, Keegan, Reed. Yeah,
I mean, and so
and they're all like, so why say that? Why say that to you?
Reedy's gone, oh, he's not good enough. He's not good enough to be in the squad at the moment. And I've played for England on the Wednesday, so I can't get in the 2 17-year-olds ahead of me, which I've heard of. And I've played for England on the Wednesday.
Are they looking after himself though? Like that pressure from above, like Risdale saying, listen, we need to get rid of
him. But if they'd, have said to me, look, we need to get rid of you, just work with it. I get it. It's not an issue.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Yeah.
It's a football thing
there. I'll work hard. Just be honest with me. Not a problem. Go through it. So McLaren was like, what's going on? Even Sven came to me and said, oh, Danny, what's happening? I said, well, clearly they just want rid of me and whatever. Cheers, Sven. You could have told me that you'd kibosh and move to Chelsea. I didn't know at that point.
See, that's turning up to where Waltham Abbey, yeah, where you're going.
McLaren was there and Steve was like, what's going on? I said, well, clearly they want rid of me. There's a fire sale going on. They're letting people go left, right and centre. He said, well, do you want to come to us? He said, you know Hugo, you know Gareth, you know a few of the players. We're doing well. We're on the up. Come play for us, just up the road. Yeah, let's get it done. Bang on. Sorted. Right, well, that was it.
But it's going to cost you 95 grand a week.
Was it back to Bristol? Lads, get the troops back together, meeting at 10.
But you'll fucking be quiet again.
Spoke to Borough. Clubs were talking and Leeds wanted £1.5 million at this stage. And Borough went, look, we want you in now. We need to get this deal done, get it over the line for the window, or whatever it was, for something that happened. We just need to get you in this weekend. We want you in. Get it underway. Get it done. And they were faffing around with it, this, that, and the other. They said, look, I'll tell you what. We'll pay all his wages. Let's just get him on loan till Christmas. And then Keith Lumber's like, we'll get him on loan till Christmas. Yeah, and then we've got enough time then to get this deal done properly. They only want £1.5 million. It's not a lot of money, you know, for where you're at. We'll sort it. No bother. Done and dusted. Fuck it. I just want to play.
Juninho would have been in squad then.
Yeah. So me and Mendy signed on the same day. I mean, Mills for free transfer, Mendietti for free transfer, who had cost, I think, Lazio 38 million the year before.
Well, he came on a free.
It's the strangest free transfer on the planet, isn't it?
Jesus.
I think he was the world's most expensive player at that stage, 38 million.
Yeah. How did Berra get him?
It was a free transfer.
Svenela being involved, wouldn't he?
It was bizarre. I mean, absolutely bizarre. I mean, you know, we called him Harry for a bit because he looked like Harry out of Dumb and Dumber with his haircut. One of the best players I've ever played. I mean, phenomenal player.
Better than Juninho?
Oh, outstanding, Mendy. Mendy was tremendous. But we were doing really, really well, obviously in the Carling Cup, going through the rounds, so doing decent in the league. And then it got to Christmas, where for me it all fell apart.
What happened at Christmas? And
threw me toys out of the pram, didn't I?
You did
at Borough.
Yeah. So we got to this stage. We've gone through. So we're now in the Carling Cup final, semi-final. Whatever. We've done brilliantly. You know, I played every single game. Been playing with a broken toe for most of it. Injections before the game. Injections at half time. You know, getting to midnight and my foot like a cartoon.
Sorry, I had 3 months and it's fucking
horrific. Epic. You know, just going throbbing.
Yeah.
You know, bright red. But doing really well. It's got to get into Christmas, obviously transfer window in January or whatever. It's going, right, okay, Borough, you need to get this done now. Promise me we're going to get done. Right, okay, yeah, let's get the contract agreed. We know what you're earning. We'll take over that. Actually, yeah, I'll take that. I'll accept that and we'll give you another year. Yeah, okay, that's fine. Don't want any more money. We'll just take it over as it is. That's fine. Right, okay. So, you know, basically it was just swapping the contract, add another year on, going from there. So it gets to sort of end of January and we've got Leeds last game before the window closes. So it finally gets to it and Keith says, I'll bring you guys in. He says, well, you know, bring them up next Friday. You know, we play Saturday. Bring them up Friday. We'll get the deal done. You know, we'll have it. Bring your lawyer. We'll sign it all off.
And are Leeds still wanting 1.5?
Well, I'm not really sure. They're in the bottom three at the moment.
Yeah.
So we get to it. Go in his office. My guys have come up. Yeah, here it is. Everything's done and dusted. Yeah, standard. It's exactly the same. Basically copied and pasted it from the Leeds one. Not a problem. Go out training, come back in. Right, okay, yeah, we all ready then? Everyone happy? Lawyer's been through it. Yeah, yeah, whatever. Keith Lamb's gone, oh, just one slight issue. Slight problem. We're still waiting for a phone call back from Leeds because we haven't agreed the fee yet. What do you mean you haven't agreed the fee? You've had 6 months. It's £1.5 million.
Mm.
Not... This is a bargain, really.
Yeah.
The wages are relatively high, but it, you know, not from what you're paying Mendieta and all the rest of it. This is a bargain.
Yeah.
They're really struggling now, and it looks like they might get relegated. So we're thinking at the end of the season, we might get on a free transfer. And if you can hang on till then, we're getting on a free. Oh, no. I said, this is not what... I said, you promised me you'd get it done at the very beginning, and because it, whatever, I agreed to come on loan, because it wasn't quite time enough, and I've done you a favour. And now you're telling me you've had 6 months or whatever, 5 months, and you've not done anything about it. Yeah, but if we get on a free, we could... No. I went, no. Don't fucking come to me with that.
So when you're throwing your toys out the pram, I'm thinking you've had a bar new. But I think this is quite legitimate, yeah. This one.
Well, it gets worse. So we're going through it. So I'm going, no, hang on a minute. No, I can't be doing this. I said, you're now taking the piss. I said, so you're expecting me now to go back to Leeds tomorrow, play at Elland Road, when they're in the bottom three, play against my club, where if you fuck this deal up at the end of the season, because you've already fucked it up twice, I'm going to have to go and sign for Leeds. And I've been a part of getting them relegated. I went, never in a million years am I playing in that game. I said, not happening. I said, I will be crucified. I said, I've got to go and live. I said, my family live there.
Mm.
I said, there's no way. I said, what? It's no, trust. I went, trust you.
So they're not even wanting to keep you for the end of the season?
Yeah, they want to keep me. Yeah. But they want me to get to the end of the season and then go, oh, Leeds are now relegated.
Yeah.
So we can get you on a free transfer and we can save £1.5 million.
Maybe. It's not definite.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's but still... if I get to the end of the season and Borough go, well, we've changed our mind, I've got to go back down to a championship club.
Yeah.
So
hang on a minute. I've been part of getting you to a Carling Cup finally. You know, we're doing well in the league.
Yeah.
You're going to be in Europe. It's like, it's £1 million. You're taking the piss.
Yeah.
You promised to do it in August and you didn't. You faffed around and didn't get it done. You've then had 5 months to agree £1 million and you've not even agreed a fee with them. I went, I'm not playing. I said, not doing it. I said, fuck yourselves. So I'm not having it. So Steve McLaren phoned up on the Sunday. He says, need to come in tomorrow, Dan. Chairman wants to see you.
And now you're now feeling bitterness against Middlesbrough like you did not.
Oh, yeah. So I'm now going, I was saying, he said, Chairman wants to see you. He said, fuming. I said, he's fuming. So I'm absolutely fucking raging. So we go back in, see the chairman goes, oh, really, you know, really disappointed. I said, what do you mean disappointed? I said, your chief exec just pulled wool over my eyes and just pure bullshit. He said, but you've asked her back to Leeds. He says, yeah, because you're treating me like absolute dog shit. I said, you don't treat people like that. He said, well, the deal's for that, you know, end of the season. I said, fine. I said, I've got no issue with that. I said, I'll stay. I said, and I will work my ass off. I said, you will not notice any difference whatsoever. I said, but I feel very, very let down with you, that you lied to me, disappointed. Don't even think about blaming it on me. Go through all that. And we get to the end of the season.
Has Leeds gone down?
They're going down, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Leeds, yeah. So Leeds are now going down. So I'm thinking I've got to go back to a good club. As I predicted, I've got to go back to a club that are in the shit.
Yeah.
And it's a fire sale. And I've got 4 years left at Leeds. Big money. they don't want me back now.
Yeah.
You know, and they've got all new owners and all these different types of things. So it's chaos. So then, of course, I go back to... I think we have internationals that summer. And there's lots of talk about what's going on. Oh, the Borough deal might be on, Blackburn are interested in me. That's fallen through. Birmingham are interested. That's fallen through because Leeds are now holding out for anything.
Mm.
So Leeds have gone, well, we want £1.5 million. We want £500,000. Actually, no, it's £700,000. Now it's £200,000. It's like, it's all over the gaff.
So that makes Middlesbrough expecting to get you for free. Oh, very, very ambitious, doesn't it?
Yeah, like, so, I mean...
thinking about it.
Yeah, Leeds are now going, you know, they're desperate. You know, I've got 4 years left. And so they know, well, people know that I've got a big contract. Leeds want to get that contract off, but they're trying to get money back in. And the minute, you know, everything's changing constantly. So,
but with Leeds, and that's them little bit cutting the nose off to spite the face, isn't it? If they're saving 4 years
exactly. So, and that, but that was
circa a million quid.
Well, so I was then getting, well, look, if you come back to Leeds, I said, we can't pay you ages, the club's going to fold. So we can't, and sort of having, because obviously the PFA had been involved all the way through this process, and well, look, we can't afford it anymore. We've got to get people off the books. Stadium's been sold, ground's been sold, this has been sold, that's been sold. There's nothing left.
They've got administrators on the back as well. Everything's
gone.
Got to try and get as much money as they can.
You're thinking the club could go bust. It was genuine, seriously a concern that the club could go bust. So in the end, City came in for me about 3 weeks into pre-season, and they said, look, they'd been in a year before. Keegan rang me up and said, look, I want to get you back in. You've done great, obviously, at Borough. We wanted you last year. We want to get you in. But I'm not going to lie to you. We can't match your wages. This is all we can give you. It's about 75%. I said, well, all right. Dilemma now. Club's really struggling financially. There's nothing left. They've sold everything. So I've gone to the club and gone, right, okay, there's this deal on the table. If you want to get rid of me, obviously you're going to have to give it free, but you're going to have to pay me up. Then you're going to have to make up the rest of this contract.
25%.
Yeah. I said, because I'm not going. I said, well, we've got nothing to pay you with. I said, you have to find it. I said, if not, I'm staying here. I said, I love this club. I said, I'm quite happy to stay here and playing in championship, whatever it is. Not asked. So now it's a game of poker, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it gets to the point and they're going through it. And I'm on now with the lawyers. I'm on with the PFA, everything. You know, what can be done about this? How can we do this, that and the other? So after a week or so, it gets to the point and Leeds go, right, okay. We finally managed that we can do a deal, but we can't pay you all up front because we haven't got it. And the PFA are going, well, no, they haven't. Genuinely haven't got it. You know, they're skint. But what if we pay you over 3 years? Right, okay. So, yeah, that's. I'll get my money back. Got to wait a bit, you know, but what options have I got now?
Yeah.
Because if I stay, I could send the club bust. Because it's on the brink.
Yeah.
You know, it's
did
like
you consider backing down? Like you said, you love the club.
But I'd have played in the championship before I'd have chucked my money away.
Were you one of the last big earners then?
I was the last one to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone, I mean, Harry had gone for like 2 million quid and, you know, it was just, I just dug my heels in and just said, I'm not going.
Risk of the club going bust.
So I got to the point, so I'd done a deal with Keegan. So that was done. I was driving home and he rang me. He said, oh, brilliant, Dan. Glad it's all sorted. You know, 4-year deal. Take over my Leeds contract effectively. It's all done. He got it sorted with Leeds. So then obviously went through the City process. But of course, I'm still getting paid from Leeds that season, obviously. And then Man City have been paying me. And then, of course, then I got injured. So then I went to, obviously, ended up going to Hull. So Hull were paying me for a bit. Leeds were paying me for a bit. Man City were paying me for a bit.
Hell.
Then I went on loan second time and obviously went back to Charlton. And they were, so I think it was one point I was getting paid by 4 clubs. What happened is I'd done this deal with Leeds and then they got into administration again. They went, like, we're skint again. We can't afford to pay. And I had a 7-day winding up order on the club. Part of this severance payment was that if they didn't pay me, I could basically call in my debt and that would wipe the club out. So I'm sat there with
what fucking you? Power, eh? Like fucking
what? Yeah. But can you imagine if I'd have done that? I'd have had to move to outer Mongolia.
Yeah.
Danny Mills folds Leeds. I went, yeah, I quite like living where I'm living. I quite like my life.
We'll sort some
of Mr. Esdale, I'm calling the debt in.
Yeah. And so, but that's literally what it was. It was like, you know, if I call my debt in, they've got to pay me before every other creditor and this, that, and the other. So, of course, so that 3 years then turned into 5 years to spread the payments.
That's unbelievable.
I was doing them a favour.
Yeah.
So that's why people ask, well, how long are you getting paid for Leeds at? Oh, well, I said a while. Because that had gone on. Man City, obviously my parent club. They were paying the bulk of my wages. I'd been to Charlton on loan for the second time. So they owed me some bonuses and bits and pieces. Obviously normally get them a month after, don't you? Mm. And I just got to Derby on loan.
Do you only play a couple of games at Derby?
Played 90. Played the first game. I went there. So I went on loan to Hull because Adam Pearson was chairman. I knew Adam well, and you guys were struggling.
Yeah.
So I turned up at Hull. Didn't really know Parky that well, but Adam was like, "I said, look, we're struggling. We're like four or five games in. We've just got promoted. Whatever it was, we've got these lads from lower leagues, and we're confidence is gone after a few games. We need someone in a bit of experience. Will he come and play for us? Yeah, no bother. Not a problem. That's fine." So I turn up at Hull that first day. Fucking hell! Wash my own kit. Getting changed in. I don't know. It was like a social club, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fucking right on my street.
I'm thinking
beans, spaghetti and toast, or one at dinners that they used to put on.
So I've gone from Man City. It's gone in the other direction, whatever. And I'm thinking, so I've turned out and I'm thinking, all right, okay, need to bed in here. You know what I mean? I'm on a big contract. These lads are opposite ends of the spectrum at the time. So I'm thinking I've got to fit in somehow. No idea really who any of the fucking players are. Thought this fellow would have gone on the bins or whatever.
Fucking like Kitman. Why is Kitman training?
So I've had a chat at the park in bits and pieces, and I think it's the first day we've done a bit of a session in the morning, just getting to know the lads, and I'm trying to fit in best as possible. And we did a fitness session in the afternoon. Stuart Ailes was a fitness coach. And I thought, right, I said, you know, I'm not sure if the lads are having me or not here or whatever. I said, I need to blend in, need to fit in. And we started this fitness. He put all cones out everywhere, thinking this is my game, fitness, whatever. And I've got to shoot. So bizarrely, just as we sort of started, he's finished putting the cones out, this bin lorry starts reversing into the training ground. And I've just gone, fuck me, Stewie. Look what's just arrived for your session. This is fucking dog shit. Put it in there and let's fucking do it. And I think obviously
lads are like that. He'll do for
it. Yeah, lads, yeah, fucking brilliant. Fucking all over it. So, and I don't know if you remember, I went and apologised to him afterwards. I said, look, I had to do that just to try and. Because
yeah.
I think that, you know, when you've come from like Premier League, whatever, and these lads have just come up, it's a bit of like, there's a massive disparity. You know, in wages and sort of that, all that yeah. sort of stuff and bits and pieces. So I thought, I've got to make a real big effort to fit in. And then, again, I played 10 games, I think, and then had a stress fracture where I'd had a previous injury where Bergkamp did me previously. So that cut that very, very short.
Mm.
So I got hole from, I think, second bottom to fourth from bottom and then left.
So the injuries just get the better of you in the end?
Yeah, so I went back to City. Then Adam Pearson was at, manager was chairman at Derby. I said, look, he said, you had a great spell. He said, we're going down. He said, there's no chance we're surviving. He said, we've got fucking 8 points at this stage or whatever it was. He said, we're going down. He said, will you come on loan at the end of the season? Just need a bit of an injection of something. I'm going to get a couple of players in, but then we're looking to rebuild following seasons. So we're looking to put a squad together now
for
the championship. He said, we'll come on loan this season, then we'll do your three-year deal at the end of it and everything will be sorted. Be all rosy and this, that and the other. Yeah, brilliant. Sorted. Go in, first game. We're unlucky, actually. I think we lost. We drew against Sheffield Wednesday in the Cup and we lost to Wigan 1-0. Sibierski scored. We're unlucky. I picked up a little niggle. It's fine. No issues with it. Went down to Portsmouth. Played Portsmouth. 32 minutes in. Got past the ball. We won 0 up. Fucking hell, that hadn't happened for a long time. Got past the ball, went to sort of just plant my foot and knee just gave way, fell on the floor, got up. Savage passed me a ball. I went to run for it and just knee just gave way completely. Just gone. What's going on? Guys come on. Oh, hell, this is not good, is it? It's not your cruise shirt. That's, but something's not right. I'll walk. Strap it all up, sort of hobble off the pitch or whatever. First time I've ever come off in a game, injured. Never come off before injured in a game. Bus journey on the way home. Obviously, you know, this is serious now. This is a problem because knees the size of a bone. Everything. Doc's like, not sure about this. This is not good. went back into Man City. At that point, I'm thinking, all right, okay.
How old are you at this point?
30, I think. Just right. 29, 30. So I've still got 2 years left at City.
Yeah.
So I've still got plenty of time left. And thinking, oh, fucking hell. So I go back and obviously it all comes through, right? Have the op, have microfracture and all that sort of stuff. Go through that. 3 months in a brace, can't move it. You know, I've watched every single DVD that I've got. I've watched all the films I've got, whatever. I'm Googling stuff. It gets more and more extreme that I'm Googling.
I don't want to know.
Specialist.
Nothing shocks me at this point. I'm in the darkest despairs of Google.
I'm on the dark web.
I'm pretty much on the dark web at this point. There's all sorts going on. And they sort of come out of that and obviously then go back into rehab and realise I'm going to be a long time out. And there's an off chance this could be the end. It's going to be tough. And I was starting to get, this is just shit now. It's not really getting better. It's hard. It's hard work. Mm. I'm only 4 or 5 months in. I went, you know what? I need a change. I said, I need to do something different. So I had an insurance policy that was basically would see me right a little bit if I finished. And it wasn't cheap, but the club, Man City, would pay in it because I'd arranged that in my deal. Yeah. No surprise there.
Considering you haven't had an agent, you've done well.
Don't worry about that.
Fuck all of my Catholics.
Don't worry about that.
What's that group called? It just bought fucking Debenhams. What's it called, that group?
I was going through all that and just thought, you know what, but I was getting to the point where the insurance company were going, well, look, if you play one reserve game, your insurance policy is null and void because you then declared yourself fit.
Yeah.
And I'm going, well, I can't play your reserve game. I can't. Where's the risk? Because it's still not right.
Yeah.
Where's the risk?
Well, you need to figure out if you're right.
Because this is like another year on my contract that I'm going to get in my insurance money. I can't just write that off just to try and play in a reserve game. Yeah. I said, that's not happening. I just went back and I went back and I went, that's it. Finished. And it's great. And then City go, oh yeah, we've released Danny Mills. I'm fucking released, mate.
Is it all right now? Are you running and stuff?
I mean, it's like hitting your funny bone. So in certain angles, it catches the nerve and gives way. So I can run, but I can't jog and I can't run super fast. I just have to sort of stay in that middle section. I mean, I can ski, but to a point that if I go too low or it gets bumpy, it hits that nerve and gives way. Come down the stairs sometimes, overbend, it hits that nerve and just gives way. So yeah, it's managed. I can't, kicking a ball is not easy. Never was, before you jump in.
I see, you didn't do it at fucking 23, that injury.
It's that snapping motion, that snapping the knee back motion that sort of hits the kneecap and whatever, but my kneecap's not attached to anything. My kneecap just floats around and moves around and does whatever. So it's not great, but in terms of everyday life.
It don't stop you playing garden with kids and
not really. I can still run 2-3 times a week. I can still do all those bits and pieces. I can still ski if I want. So I just have to manage it.
Yeah.
And I say to people now, it's like a rusty bike chain. If I do nothing, it seizes up and it swells and I can't move. It's just locks completely. If I push it too hard, it'll snap and it'll be another op and those types of things.
It's just
keeping it ticking over.
Yeah.
And just going, oh, and some days having to go, well, you know what, it hurts a bit.
Ibuprofen.
Get the ibuprofen in. You know, smash a few of them in, old school.
Do you enjoy your media stuff?
Yeah, it's good fun. I hated it to start with because I couldn't play. And then actually it sort of kept me involved and the guys were good. And now it's sort of like a busman's holiday. Keeps you involved, gives you something to do. Because I found after the first year I did nothing. And then when I can't do this forever, I can't do nothing, go off my head and go berserk. You know, that's like, whew. Wife hated it, I hated it. It's like, you're in each other's pockets, aren't you? Yeah. All of a sudden, when you've been away for so long, there's only so much you can do. It's like being locked down, everyone's sort of got a bit of that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I can't do that. Imagine doing lockdown for the rest of your life.
It feels like it a minute.
No thanks. So media stuff's good, that's 2 or 3 days a week, but I've always had other business interests. So I've always had a life away from football, which has sort of kept things ticking over and doing other bits and pieces. So I always say I had a life away from football. So even when I finished, I wasn't just a footballer. I could still be a dad.
You've got other stuff, right?
And I could still do those other bits and pieces and that type of thing. And so my kids were, my eldest was 10. Nine probably when I finished. So I had a 9-year-old, 7-year-old, 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. So
we might have got lucky in a way then, eh?
The only other thing I regret is not playing longer so they could see me play properly.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I sort of, you know, they've had to watch.
I know, but to be fair though, Millsy, they're watching you playing in the World Cup, mate. They're not playing us at fucking watching us at Keepmore, you know what I mean? They're watching you in the World Cup.
I've played there as well.
Who was the toughest opponent?
Ginola ripped me apart once. I mean proper ripped me apart, but ripped me a new arsehole.
The top.
I ran out and I didn't know, to start with, I didn't know whether to like cuddle him or kick him. try and chat him up.
You he smelled good.
Oh, he's beautiful.
Oh, he looked good, smelt good. Just was just like, even when he had a go at you, fuck you off. You
know. It's a bit of a turn on.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it's like Pepper Le Pew. You know what I mean? It's like, he's having a go at me, but I love him.
A bit of a turn.
Proper man crush.
He had a good look.
He was 6'3", 6'4". Could go either way, left foot, right foot. On his day, he was unplayable.
But he weren't particularly quick, were he?
So like Brownie wants to go either way.
Yes. Yeah, was a real strong runner. But yeah, it's one of those, you look back and go, who did I had a nightmare against him. I had a shocker.
Yeah.
And he played against some incredible players through the times, but generally did okay. I mean, that was one game where I had one. Hmm. You know, just had one. And he absolutely just twisted me.
It's different to Carlos and Nicholas. You know what Carlos is going to do.
Well, that's the thing. But as I'm saying, he could go right foot, left foot. He could nutmeg you. He could beat you in the air.
He's strong as well, isn't he?
And he was unpredictable.
Yeah.
He just did not know what was going to come up. And when you look, so on his day, it was just unplayable. And honestly, my blood was curdling.
But
twisted me.
Best and worst manager?
Best manager, Pardew, if I'm honest. Because he was honest. He was innovative. He was brutal at times, you know, and that's all I wanted. You know, he knew his stuff as well. And I think by the time I went to Charlton that second time, he appreciated that senior players were a big part of the football club.
Yeah.
And he had respect for the senior players. And he was good with me. He trusted me. You know, he'd give me a day off to come home, knowing that full well I was going to go out and do an half-hour run. And he said, I've got no, you know... But then, you know, there were a couple of times early on, we were playing, I think we were about to play Ipswich, played three or four games, and he just came in the dressing room and just went, Dan, in front of everyone, he said, look, he said, you're supposed to be an international. Is there any chance of seeing a decent performance from you?
Mm.
And he said, come on, you need to start pulling your finger out, because this lot think, you know, this lot should be looking up to you. Okay. Went out and had a go. And it sort of, it kicked.
Yeah.
He'd obviously, within four games, he'd realised that I needed that little bit of a kick on and I could take it and was going to take it in the right way.
It's a big statement, that. You've played some top managers.
Yeah.
And how long did you play under Pardew? Wasn't long.
Oh, 6 months. So he was, but then I go back, you know, obviously Mike Walker was an arse because he'd been me. and John Dean was good at Norwich, gave me a pro contract, but never played for him. Mike Walker at Norwich stitched me up. Killed me. Martin O'Neill was good, gave me my debut at Norwich, but was weirdo. I mean, was everything was about winning and losing. You know, if you didn't like you, forget it, run. So it was good, but not, he wasn't bad in any way, shape, but he was just very, very different in the way that he sort of, the way that he did things. Very Brian Clough, any of the older people sort of listening that, you know, you win, see you Thursday.
Yeah.
What? You lose, back in tomorrow morning running. That sort of type of mentality. Then obviously Kerbs was good, but again, was only with Kerbs a year, got promoted, relegated. So Kerbs was decent. I mean, didn't have an issue with Kerbs. O'Leary was a complete arse.
Blackwell?
Arse.
Reed?
Stitch me up, arse. Nice fellas.
Keegan?
Weak, rubbish, tactician, hopeless.
McLaren?
Sven with England, odd. Different, very quiet, unique. Didn't, you know, did things in a completely different way to everybody else. Would never shout. When he wanted to get angry or wanted the team to listen, would talk quieter. So we'd whisper. So everyone had to, you could hear a pin drop.
Because you know, you had to weird.
Well, yeah, you know, like, it's one of those, it's like, and that was weird in football because most managers were screaming, shouting, there'd be boots getting, you know, everything was going off. So it would be like this.
Everyone's
coming.
It's a good tactic, that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was clear. I mean, spoke six languages fluently.
Has there ever been any Tell us about tear ups, training ground tear ups. Well, I love hearing about that.
We had plenty.
Joey were fucking most of them.
Well, Bo had a few at Leeds, had a few of them.
Just red mist.
Yeah, just scuffles. I mean, a few punches thrown, you know, a bit of blood spilt.
Were you ever involved?
Not really. I nearly had one of the Dukes once.
Oof.
We're snowing. Targets. Yeah, we're snowing. And we were in the gym. you know, going to the gym inside. But it was the old school. It was the old gym. No AstroTurf. Yeah. It was out on the concrete floor. You know, the furry ball and all that sort of nonsense. Yeah. Of course, it starts off fine, doesn't it? And then there's a little nudge into the wall from somebody. And then that goes back a bit more. And then and all of a sudden, the lads got tracky bottoms on. They're sliding in. It started to get out of hand. It was all kicking. It was building. It was all building. I think I've steamed into the Dukes, whatever. And we've had a bit of a scuffle in the corner. And whatever, and all of it, he's just turned out and he's clubbed me. But he's clubbed me like with a straight arm.
It's like a clothesline.
Well, yeah, well, but on the top of my head. He's like, it's like bowling. He's come over the top and just gone douche like a hammer into the floor. I've shrunk about 4 inches. And the lads have then jumped in and it's all sort of like piled off in bits and pieces. Like, oh, okay. Thank God that got...
You know, when you went to the fair and you did the hammer?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was. He's the most placid man on the planet. But of course, you know, it was just building. But it was. I said it wasn't a punch. It was like, yeah, you know, you pick the hammer up on the fairground and you hit the thing. It was like one of them. It was like, boing, ding, and then hit the bell.
Were you a fan of the mind games?
Oh yes, love the mind games. I mean, me and Thatch were at City, do it all the time, and we did it to Lee Croft was at City, Moonhead. Biggest face on the planet. You know what I mean? He's like, his head was just face. It was just huge. So we used to get into his ribs all the time and hammer him, probably a bit too far sometimes. And we got to that point, and then we were playing Norwich. So what me and Thatch used to do is I'd go and stand next to the right winger, and he would go and stand next to my winger we're going to play against. Of course, he knew Thatch. So we said, Crofty, you're right. Yeah. I know, yeah. What did you say about Thatch? You'd spoke about Thatch in the press or something? No, why? No, why? He's after you. What have you said? So he says, fucking red mist is down already. He says, we've had to keep him away from you in the tunnel. I says, he's going to have to take a red. He's going to break your legs. He's going to snap you in two. I said, I don't know what you've said. I said, you must have said something about his missus or something. He's fucking fuming. Croft is going out. Crap at his pants.
And then say anything.
First challenge, first ball gets rolled into him, first challenge, and he's jumping. Yeah. Job done. Don't need to worry about him anymore this game. So we used to do stuff like that all the time. You know what I mean?
In the tunnel. Did you used
yeah.
To, just
I did it.
Getting the heads early.
When I went to, Lloyd Sam played in front of me at Charlton. And Lloydy was brilliant because he wasn't the brightest. But he was quick as, and he was really young. He was keen as mustard, proper keen. And I'm thinking, this lad can do all my running. I'm still fit, but I can do all my running here. I'm brilliant. So I'd be like, Lloydie, he'd go past the fullback. I'd be like, Lloydie, you're on fire, son. You're absolutely on fire. Just build him up all the time. I said, you've got him on toast. His foot, he doesn't know what he's doing. I said, he's fucking having one, that fullback. Just keep getting at him. And he turned around and he's sort of like, little smiling thumbs up to me. Like a schoolboy giggling. It was just silly things like that. But the amount getting into people's heads like that, you know, just walking past people and going, oh, I'll tell you what, you're nowhere near as good as I thought you were, mate. You're an I thought you were a half decent player, but you're shit, aren't you?
You're shit.
The thing is, you can do that when you play for England, guys.
But it was like, it's always those quiet little ones. Where it gets people thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Yeah, you used to say that with referees. But, you know, if you're screaming and shouting at a referee, he's going to ignore you and he's going to go against you. But if you're running past him and go, are you sure, ref? I'm not sure about that decision, but you might have a look at that at half time. I'm not going to lie to you, but that's just a horrific decision. I understand you've missed it, but you want to have a look at that one. That's a bad one. And suddenly, human nature you start to doubt yourself. And you think, well, he's not really had a go at me. Well, he has.
So he's half doing me a favour.
Well, yeah, it's like...
Planted the seed.
Well, it's like, kill him with kindness.
Yeah.
and get into that sort of mentality. Yeah, we loved all that sort of stuff. Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Oh, brilliant, mate.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks for your time.
Interesting, yeah. That.
Thanks good for your hospitality. Cheers, mate.
Yeah, top man, mate. Could it out to 5 minutes?
Top man. I'm selling my house in a few months. I might get you on for negotiations.
I love it.
Get a few clauses.